Gather round, sheep. It's time for another exciting action-packed... Jamie Bendel, Jamie Hernan, Adam...
I used to get upset about that long intro of Adam. However, now that we start, now that we have transcripts,
I like it
because the transcripts can't get that right.
Yeah.
So it says it says Jamie Bendel, it says Jamie Hernan, and then it just butchers Adam's name. Which
that's actually how I avoid being caught by the CIA. Oh. Yeah, I can defeat transcripts by my big introduction. It's kind of a it's a tool of trade. It's a tool of the trade.
That's brilliant.
Okay. Yeah. And that falls into the category of sources and methods.
Yeah, sources and methods.
Sources and methods.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Nice.
All right. If you were going to be a spy, do you think a spy has a business card?
Yes, absolutely. They have to have a business card because, in fact, I think you have to have multiple business cards.
But no matter what, the company has to have the term industries in it.
Maybe.
Interesting.
Maybe. And I think... the best business cards are ones that say consultant, you know, because you can kind of play that any way you want to.
Vandalay Industries.
Or it's like a Phoenix. Consultant. It's a Phoenix Industries or like a Caribou Industries.
Something.
Yeah, something really vague, but yet sounds very identifiable. And it all rings back to the Central Intelligence.
All right. So our guest on this episode.
Yeah. Spy.
Has an interesting, we think.
Maybe. Possible spy.
Okay.
For the Vatican.
Here is a great question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think that if you are a person of faith who takes confessions from parishioners, are you technically a spy for Jesus?
That's really interesting. And could the CIA, like I was thinking the other day that one of our guests was on and he was talking about how a comedian would make an incredible spy because they can roll city to city and stand-up comics can kind of go city to city and not be detected. If the CIA could somehow recruit a priest, my gosh.
I think comics prefer not to be undetected.
No, but I think...
as a spy.
As a spy.
You're not undetected.
Yeah, you know, they're very... So for instance, like if Bill Barr were a spy, it'd be great because he could just insert himself into foreign countries, get, you know, people don't really think much about him, you know. Anyhow, I think it's interesting. So what do you think? Business card? Does a spy have a business card?
I think a spy probably does have a business card.
Yeah.
What if as a spy, you just said, I'm a spy? And because it's so implausible, people are like, you're not a spy. What do you really do? And I'd be like, no, that's kind of what I do. I'm a spy.
Spy Industries. Spy. Chief spy.
My main competition is a different spy. And it's kind of just spy versus spy the whole time.
So the Washingtonian, which is a DC magazine, they did a thing like what of all the government jobs, that's the best pickup job, right? Like I work in the White House.
What's your clothes?
I work for the Speaker. I work for the FBI. The CIA was the best pickup.
Do you think there's guys in DC that are making business cards that make them look like spies so they can go to bars and hand them out?
I think they're creepy, but they are guys like that. Yeah.
I've never been that guy.
A spy in DC?
No.
Manipulate your...
that's what a spy would
say. Who you are?
It is what a spy would say.
Yeah.
But I think the rule is it's kind of like if somebody asks you if you're a cop, you have to say you're a cop, which I feel like that's kind of...
that's a movie thing.
That's only a movie thing? That's not in real life?
I don't know about the CIA. I don't think you have to say you're a CIA guy. You never see that in the movies, though, with the spies. Like somebody just coming up and saying... are you a spy? Because you'd have to tell me.
You'd have
legally.
To, right. That's the international rules of spycraft.
And you see like Jason Bourne be like, oh, headquarters, I'm going to need an evac right away because they've made me.
They have all the tools to defeat the enemy. They just can't fight that one question. They pulled out the legal
are you a spy question.
Got me on a loophole.
Can't be beat.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Section 47.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, I don't think today's guest would be a very good spy because I think he's well known. He's got a we'll let him explain it on the sheep. But sheep, we have a great guest coming up.
All right, so stick around for that.
It's Lino Rulli.
Lena Rulli.
Yeah, the Catholic guy.
Host
show.
Of the Catholic
we're just
guy
letting
show.
It out now.
Yeah. Oh, we're not keeping him secrets.
Oh, okay.
We're not keeping it. It's part of a new thing that I'm doing for Lent.
Oh,
which is being more honest.
Yeah, no secrets.
And it's going to be so in we're the not title even going to
leave
episode.
It. Oh, and we're not even going to leave it till after the break.
Ooh, maybe we should title this episode The Spy Episode, and we won't tell them who.
Confessions of a spy.
Boom!
In quotes.
That just happened.
Boom!
Yeah,
that's how we do it.
But you already knew that because you clicked on the podcast. But anyhow,
you're in it.
Enjoy it.
It's weird how we're kind of working everything together.
But hey, behind the curtain. You guys get to go behind the curtain anytime you want. All anyhow.
Right, so I'm excited. We've got some good questions. I have some questions about Faith that I would like answered. I'm hoping that he's going to be able to provide me some guidance.
Yeah, we actually... We also got a new sponsor I'm pretty excited about. Go ahead and we got to go to him. We got to get to the bumper.
All right. We got a great ad.
New
very
sponsor.
Excited.
Yeah.
And then we're into the conversation.
Brown bags of cash.
With Lino Rulli. Stick around. Don't go too far, sheep. The podcast.
Talk.
Hey, Adam.
Jamie. What's up, buddy?
We've got a new sponsor. They're based out of Minnesota.
Have I told you about my Minnesota thing?
You have told me about the Minnesota thing, and this is going to make you even more excited about Minnesota. These folks are called FindSomePermafrost.com.
By the way, I'm pretty sure my Minnesota thing helped us land this sponsor because I talked about how great people from Minnesota are. So I'm psyched that they're joining us. Another great sponsor. What do they do?
Yeah, so if you are in most areas of the country,
yep,
and the temperature is actually reasonable,
yep,
and you need to know, where can I find some permafrost?
Yep.
You go to permafrost.com.
Yep. That's our sponsor.
And they will point you to where you can find permafrost, which is almost 98% of the time in Minnesota.
But you got to go to Minnesota to get it? Or can I get some kind of permafrost down here?
No, they will ship it to you in a container, ice packed and everything. They will send you permafrost for you to have at your home, wherever you're located, where it's nice and warm.
Will it keep me cool? Can I, like, help my air conditioning bill with this, or how does that work?
It's so cold that it will last up to 3 months.
Oh, that's awesome. And do I have any kind of frostbite or anything that I need to be concerned about?
No frostbite. It comes with a pair of gloves, and you can eliminate AC in your house altogether.
Oh, these people from Minnesota, they're just good people.
They are.
I tell you, because it's hot everywhere. It feels like it's hot everywhere. I hate Georgia summers. So give me some permafrost in July in Georgia. Yeah, all day. Yeah. All day.
Now, there is a limit because they don't want to get rid of all the permafrost because then it, you know, warms up in Minnesota and then the people maybe get a little more grumpy. They're not the same.
Right.
You know,
they act like Florida people.
Exactly. So there's a limit. But if you use the code BOCAST,
sure,
you can order twice the limit of permafrost.
Whoa.
No joke.
Whoa. So we get twice the restricted limit.
Exactly.
What are the people of Minnesota going to do?
Well, I have heard that there's some people in Minnesota who are faking addresses in Florida to have permafrost sent to them to then get and bring back to Minnesota.
To replenish their... That's why these Minnesota people, they're so smart.
Yep.
Anyhow, podcast listeners, you're going to love the permafrost. I love the permafrost. It keeps me nice and cool. And it drives down the air conditioning bills.
Not a real product.
You know you don't like it when it gets all hot. So get yourself some permafrost and get in under them coveys and... You know, maybe just binge watch one of them shows or something. I don't even know, but it's nice and cold.
All right, welcome back to the Bahcast. Jamie Bendel, Jamie Hernan, Adam Haig. We have a very special guest with us this evening. I'm very excited about this conversation for a variety of reasons. We'll get into those as we begin our conversation with our guest. Let's welcome him now to the Bahcast, Mr. Lino Rulli.
You pronounced that name, Jamie, as if you've practiced it for minutes on end. So congratulations.
I appreciate you nailed that. It. I appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I have this in doing a little prep for tonight's episode. I appreciate the degree to which humor has kind of played a role in your life. I, this year, will be 30 years as a stand-up comedian. And I will tell you.
Do you get a chip for that? It's like Alcoholic Anonymous.
I would say that there comes a time when you realize you should have progressed further.
Yeah.
I've been doing this a long time. Should have been further along.
It's a little dubious
right?
at some point.
Yeah. But it's that I'm going to forget somebody's introduction, right? And then you're always giving an introduction to the other comedian. What do you want me to say about you? And as you get towards the end of your set.
Yeah.
You're 30 minutes deep into your set, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, what did they tell me they wanted me to say about them?
What was that guy's name?
which joke am I really wanting to end this set on? And then secondly, what were the credits that they gave me?
Right.
And am I going to mispronounce their name?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It gets dangerous.
But you got Lino's name right.
I got Lino's name right.
Yeah, it was well done.
All right, so Lino, we like to start our show by introducing the guest, letting the guest introduce themselves. And we ask the very basic question, which is, what is your calling card?
You know what I'm very proud of is I've never had a card in my life. I've never had a calling card. I've never had a business card. And whatever it is I do would be impossible to fit on a card. And I've always been very proud of that. It tells you, obviously, I have very little to be proud of, that that is something I am actually proud of.
I think there's goals in life, and that's a good one that says I'm going to not have a card. I will never have a business card. I will always live a life without a business card.
That sounds like something that a spy would say.
Well, spies also say that, yeah.
But they, I was going to say spies always have a business card.
The cover, I see.
Point of being a spy. Yeah, if you're like, what's your business card? I don't have one. I'm a spy. Well, you just blew your cover. You have to business card that that actually says, whoa, you have to have a cover. So my attitude on this is I never wanted a business card because if I wanted to be able to be found, I would let you know where I would be. Otherwise, I've always loved the idea. And this is before social media, before all of this, that if you're like, oh, give me your card, I'd be like, no, I'm pretty sure if I want to be in touch with you, why don't you give me your card and we'll stay in touch that way. This was something I always wanted to accomplish in life. And if you set your goals low enough, you can get there.
Low bar.
Every kid's dream.
Low bar.
Yeah.
Set a low bar.
No cards.
You can always get over a low bar.
Yeah. I think it's also a that girls use in bars, often the same tactic that says, I'm not going to give you my number. Why don't you give me your number and I'll call you maybe.
That's exactly right.
All right, so let me ask you this, Lino. Do you think, relative to what it says on somebody's business card and as it relates to faith, Jamie, when we were prepping for tonight's episode, there's a lot of kind of like faith-oriented things that I'd be totally open to getting into. And I find on stage as a Catholic myself that when I really am in a set that I'm not liking, I will actually convert to jokes about Catholicism, bits about Catholicism. That I find highly entertaining, and I always talk about how I would have made a terrible apostle because I'm awful at writing letters, right? And it seems like that was always like the Corinthians were so needy for news, right? Because all they constantly were getting, right, were those letters to the Corinthians. And you know who are the other Catholics in the audience because they kind of get it. And I grew up in a house where my mom was a first available pew mom. And so I lived in this constant fear that it was going to be the mass where the priest went into the crowd and like asked questions and I was going to be ill prepared and be embarrassed in front of the rest of the congregation.
You, the little Bendel boy.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us? You know this one. Like,
Please. No,
Father,
not today. Can't we sit walking. Two rows back, Ma?
Yeah, right? Please walking.
It's the same danger as in a comedy show. If you sit right up front, you've got a risk of being part of the crowd work. I don't think that we consider
crowd work.
Not crowd work, but
I always actually thought that it would be hilarious if they did like an open pulpit night, and so like aspiring priests could go and work on sermons, and right. And just kind of
the sermons aren't going to get any worse. So the idea that you'd actually be practicing would be the opposite of stand-up comedy. You mean it would be professional? I think this is an idea we can get behind, Jamie. I would love to get this idea out there.
Right? Just to basically say, come on down, some new guys. They're just trying to work out some new stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
I've got this sermon. It's just not working right now.
Yeah, I've got the wrong story. I've made the wrong...
I know it's the right message, but yeah. I can't get the like, kicker. I can't get people involved. I can't get people to own it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will also say, it was really kind of cool the first time we actually got to bring, we were chosen, right? And I was like, yes, we have a job.
You were chosen.
Bring up the gifts.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Like that was kind of.
I wanted to let you know, Jamie, that's usually Judaism, actually. They're more chosen than we are.
Yeah. They're actually the chosen ones.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I host a show called The Catholic Guy, not The Jewish Guy, but.
Well, okay, so I do have a technical question. It's Lent. We're just starting Lent. Is there a window at the beginning where you get like a mulligan, where you've forgotten what it is that you've given up and you inadvertently do it?
Yes, there is. Now, here's there's this thing about Lent that somehow a lot of people have not noticed or paid attention to. A lot of times the Catholic Church, whether you're Catholic or not, the Catholic Church tries to, it appears like it wants to run your life at all times. With Lent, you know what the church says about Lent? Like what you got to do? You have to abstain from meat on Fridays and you have to fast on Ash Wednesday and then Good Friday. Otherwise, if you gave up rutabagas for Lent, you did that completely on your own. So if you accidentally ate a pound of rutabagas one day, which is super bizarre if you did.
But it's probably also why you gave it up.
Yep.
That's right. If you have a very unhealthy relationship with rutabagas and you're like, you know, I really want to give this up because my relationship with God is that strong. I'm willing to sacrifice. And 2 days into Lent, you're a pound of rutabagas in and you go, oh, I forgot I gave up rutabagas. It's a mulligan because nobody ever told you you needed to give up anything for Lent. You totally did it on your own. So you don't even really need a mulligan because there's no rules. You just get to go, oh, no, I'm going to give up rutabagas for Lent, except for when I want rutabagas. That's the genius of Lent, believe it or not.
Interesting. So it's kind of a self-imposed restriction that people do beyond
that. I have to tell you, I'm a little heartbroken.
Yeah.
Because
you've been working all this time to get your Lent record really good.
I feel like...
And suddenly you're like, hold on a second. Friday,
okay, so hang
fasting
on
2 days. Like, I could do that all day. I've been giving up booze for a couple months.
Wait, but if what he's saying is correct, then how do so many people still have it wrong?
Because not everyone has my genius. No, this is Jamie, this is completely true. It's just never been really talked about. But if you were to say, well, show me in the Bible, that wouldn't be a case, but show me a papal document or a Vatican document that says you need to give something up or take something on for Lent. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. So it's kind of taken on a life of its own where you're like, well, I'm giving up booze for Lent. Okay, well, you decided to. And then if you're like, oh, I screwed up, it's like, well, that's not a sin. If you give up killing people for Lent and, you know, you slip and, you know, You stab a guy, but you didn't know you were going to kill him, but he ends up dying.
Right. More manslaughter than murder.
Still
a sin. But it's a sin, but it's not a sin because you did it during Lent. It's a sin because you killed
Shouldn't kill people.
You might feel worse about it.
As long as you don't do it on Friday.
Because you tried to give it up.
Yeah.
I tried to give up killing people.
I bludgeoned a guy with my fried fish.
Oh.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I've been to some fish fries where I wanted to get back there and at least strangle the cook.
Walk us through a little bit. Okay. So let's go to question two. Can we move on to our question two? Is that okay?
First one, calling card. All got right. It. No card.
All right.
And I apologize. I should have been a better sport about the calling card thing. I host a radio show on Sirius XM called The Catholic Guy. Before that, I worked in TV and I blah, 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 blah.
We're going to edit all that out, Lena. We're going to support you and your cause.
Right.
No business card whatsoever.
Yeah.
It'll still be in there, but we're going to bleep it out.
Good.
All right. So, and I do actually think your path to that is a pretty interesting story about how you sort of made your way into this life that you've created for yourself now. And by the way, we were talking before we went on the air, or before we started recording, rather. I got to tell you, I think it's a very bold choice to get married at the Vatican.
Yeah, you got married at the Vatican. Is that right?
I absolutely got married at St. Peter's Basilica, biggest church in the world.
Okay, so our question here is...
Don't you feel like that puts a little extra pressure on the marriage?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think if anything, you got it all wrong. All the pressure is off because... You get married at the Vatican. She can get divorced all she wants from you. Her second marriage. Oh, yeah. Where are you going to have it at? Outside a parking lot at Denny's? I mean, you're not going to top getting married at St. Peter's. So anytime you're going to complain about what a lousy husband I am, I go, well, I agree. We got married at St. Peter's Basilica. I mean, what else? What am I going to give you that every day? So, no, by doing that, I try to what I lack emotionally, I try to make up either with gifts or with experiences like getting married at St. Peter's. So I thought it would be a great cover for the rest of our marriage.
So he's actually taking it at a different angle. We were thinking from your side that, like, how does your second wife deal with the fact that first wife got dealt with at the, or got married at the Vatican? But you've got an excellent point. The comparable on the wife's side is great because whoever the next guy is, he's never going to top that one. Yeah, inferior.
But it feels like it's the opposite of the professional low bar. You've set a marital high bar.
It's true.
I hadn't thought of it that way, and I hadn't thought of the second wife business. Where were you guys when I needed you?
Yeah, yeah. We're really good at prepping for second wives.
No, I think his answer, though, is probably what you'd find is he's going back there anytime he gets married. That's his spot.
Yeah, he just goes, I get married to the Vatican. It's what I do.
Yeah.
I think you may not agree with our premise here that there's going to be multiple marriages.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. If it happens. I'm not suggesting that it isn't or it is, and I hope you. We're all actually very happily married here with our first wives. But if it does, I mean, it's a hard one to top.
I love the question, though. I love the mindset, though, that's where the approach was. Well, what about the second wife? And how are you going to be able to do that? I think that's genius. Now, if we think that a little bit more through, however, I'm not worried about the second wife. I'm just making sure the first wife doesn't do better in her second marriage. Do you see what I mean?
I got you.
That's right.
I'm more worried about the second guy than I am the second wife. Because the second wife,
No, but that's great because you have set the bar impossibly high for husband number two. And that's great because you will always be and You know, no matter what, when they come by to pick up the kids, you'll always say, "Oh, I heard you got married at the local."
It's no Vatican.
Yeah. Okay,
Vatican. But no, it's really pretty, and they have a nice backyard.
I think what's going to happen is hypothetical ex-wife, second husband.
Yes,
totally switching faiths.
Oh, because they can't
get out. You can't beat.
That's a good call. As the second husband, even if you're a devout Catholic, you probably convert just to try.
Because
there's no dealing with that first husband. I mean, he married her at the Vatican.
Right. There's some other houses of worship. Maybe I go
Episcopalian and I'm Archbishop of Canterbury or I'm something like, you know, we go to Canterbury to get married or something like that.
I think you might be overthinking this.
No, really? we've obviously gone far afield.
Yeah. No. I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
We've never been guilty of overthinking things.
Well, but so I'm very interested. So my oldest daughter is in nursing school right now, and she's picked up a second major, which is theology.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And she loves it. Like, so she's gotten all in, and it's at a Jesuit school, and like, it's really been interesting to see how she's kind of now pursued her own faith, which I think is interesting at when you have kids, what they do with faith when they get out of your house.
Yeah.
Do you find that in your show and some of the other stuff that you do, that you have people that are you liking when people are questioning where they're coming from a faith perspective? Do you like those conversations better? Or do you like when somebody's all in and it's like you're cheering for your favorite sports team and we all are pulling in the same
direction. We're ride or die Catholics, kind of.
So I prefer the not all in people, because the all in people are way more annoying because they think they know it all and they think what about this? Well, what about that? And you're like, oh, just give me a break. Well, yeah, I don't get paid per soul around here. I'm trying to do a radio show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if anything, I have more fun with I'll give an example of like, I like going to confession. Well, that's not totally true. I like leaving confession.
Right.
And so I don't necessarily enjoy going, but I enjoy being forgiven. I think most human beings enjoy being forgiven. If I say on the air, geez, I like going to confession, and somebody goes, oh, I love going to confession too. Well, that's not good for me, because that's going to be one more person in line. I don't want to show up and have a bunch of people in line.
He doesn't want to oversell confession.
Somebody who's like, oh, well, all right, let me hear more. And I can tell some funny stories about going to confession or whatever. But if you're all in, that means I'll be in line. If you're like, gee, I don't know, then I say, well, you know what? Give it a shot sometime. Just go after I'm done. Let me go first. And then you can be behind me. And again, if you go, great. But it's not a pyramid scheme. It's not a Ponzi scheme where I don't somehow make more by you going. So somebody who's all in with any faith, and quite frankly, somebody who's all in with anything can sometimes be a little bit annoying. Like, I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. A buddy of mine is a huge Vikings fan. And, you know, now that we're like in the off season, as soon as I see him, he'll be like, hey, what do you think about there's a chance we're going to be drafting a linebacker in the sixth round. And I'm like, what are we talking? You're way too into this thing. Yeah, like, right. I don't know. What linebacker. I mean, we have a horrible quarterback. Let's just complain about Kirk Cousins. Let's not worry about a sixth round linebacker.
I'm guessing that the line for confession in Minnesota is shorter than at St. Patrick's.
Well, the line in Minnesota, actually, the lines are longer in Minnesota because we go anywhere where it's warm. It's very cold outside. And so if you're like confessions Saturday from 3 to 4 and heat, that actually is quite an attractive thing. You wait a minute, we can get heat around here. Believe it or not, St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York doesn't have huge lines. Well, right now during COVID, nothing's going on in New York, but in non-pandemic times, the lines are relatively short because the place is just jam-packed with tourists. Anything, I've gone to confession before, and the line isn't clear that you're there for confession. So sometimes you'll just be sitting next to a guy from Poland will just be standing in line because he thinks this is the line to buy a rosary. And the next thing he goes in and is.
So do you think that? So is there? And again, I apologize because I'm asking totally naive questions.
Here you go again.
But if it in theory has more religious significance. So did the nature of your wedding take on greater spiritual significance to you because of where you were wed? Or do you think that the experience you had would have been the same if you were at like your regular parish home church?
So though I was born in America, I'm Italian American. And my first time traveling out of the country was to Italy. So I've got family in Rome. My aunt and uncle got married at St. Peter's. My first cousin and his wife got married at St. Peter's. I used to live in Rome. I lived like 2 blocks from St. Peter's. I lived 2 blocks from the Vatican. So I used to go to this church all the time. For me, it actually felt like my parish church. Now I know like St. Peter happens to be buried not far away from there. But that to me was, this always felt like home. And plus, by getting married in Italy, there were just a ton of people I didn't have to invite. And my cheap friends and family members that I didn't want to have there anyways, I invited them. But you knew they were way too cheap to go to Italy for that. You know, if you have a wedding in the Bahamas, you might get some cheap family members to show up. You get married in Rome, all the cheapskates stay back. You get the cream of the crop at a wedding.
Like yeah, you're just racking in the gifts.
Do you know what I think?
Racking in the gifts because you can invite as many people as you want.
What's an underrated thing that people don't do enough of?
What's that?
Destination funeral.
Destination funerals.
Destination funeral.
Not enough of that.
Not enough.
Because I think the moving around of a body, or just don't even deal with
it. I don't know. I'm just saying, you never be like, oh my God, I can't believe he's dead and he wants us to kill Memorial Day weekend by burying him in Hawaii.
Yeah, let's do it in Bermuda.
Right?
I like that idea, though. Not enough people do it, but I like the idea.
Yeah, I think it's great conceptually. So do you think, though, that's then the same for somebody who says, I'm speculating, but if, let's say, take the hypothetical person who maybe doesn't go often to confession, and they're on a trip, and they said, okay, this is a church that has greater significance to our faith. I go to confession there. It's kind of like confession tourism in a way. Do they then, by virtue of that experience, maybe be more likely to go at their pick up the habit more regularly at home?
You know, that now there's a question I don't know the answer to. I do pilgrimages. So like a couple, again, when we're not under pandemic rules and I'm allowed to leave my house, I usually take trips like 4 or 5 times a year. We bring our listeners with. I remember we went to Jerusalem. We went to the Holy Land once. And one of the guys on the trip, really his wife forced him to go along, to be honest with you. The guy in his 30s or 40s or so, they were a lot of fun. And he said, you know, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to do all the stuff on the trip. I'm just going to go to be with you. And then he had heard on these trips, we eat and drink a lot, which is true. So this guy was a lot of fun. He went out to dinners with us every night. He did the entire tour. One of the last days we were in Jerusalem and he goes, you know what? I changed my mind about all this. I actually want to go to confession. I haven't been to confession in decades. And again, the guy's probably 40 years old. And went to confession, got himself a nice tattoo in Jerusalem. Now, we stay in touch. I just don't ask him about how his confession.
Yeah. How the habit's going.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, are you still going to confession or what? So that's a very good question. If people still follow up on it or not, I don't know. I think no, because I think sometimes it's the beauty of the church or the experience of being in a spot Jesus died or whatever that makes a person go, well, this is something I want to change my life. And then when you get back home, you're like, well, I don't want to change it that much.
Or they want to confess to a priest that they don't know who won't see them again because they've got something really, really juicy to lay out there.
This way I don't have to deal with him at the
gas station. I'm just happy to know that I no longer have to confess that I messed up on Lent.
Okay, there you go. So I think the big question that we've missed and we got to go back to is, did you say you're a Minnesota Vikings fan? Like football?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's the alternative? Like the Viking conquest? Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings.
No, I was just amazed that, yeah, that there are still Viking fans. I didn't realize they still existed.
He's a Patriots fan.
I think he only said
no, I mean, that's a tough life. I mean, that is penance right there, being a Vikings fan.
It's an underpinning of Catholic guilt.
Yeah, it really is. Are you a native of Minnesota?
He just said no.
No. Originally from Rome, but how long have you lived?
No. What show are you listening to?
Is Lino still on the show?
Sorry,
he's a native. You're a native Minnesotan, right?
I was born in Minnesota.
Okay,
my first trip to Italy was when I was 10 months old, and then I would go back and forth. I lived in Italy, and then I lived in New York for 15 years. But yes, I'm originally.
So, do you cheer for the Gophers?
No,
you don't cheer for the Gophers, and you live in Minnesota.
So, when it comes to college, I cheer for whoever I've bet on. So I bet college football all day long, and I don't care. Like, my wife went to the University of Georgia, and if I think they can, you know, cover, okay, I'll bet on them. Otherwise, we have just as much fun if I bet against them and you know, Georgia wins the game. I'm like, wow, that's horrible. I just lost money. So I will bet, but my loyalty is purely to my money, and that's why you never lose money betting on Tom Brady. And I bet him to win the I had said Tampa Bay would win every year the last 6 years before the season starts. I bet Tampa Bay to, New England to win it all.
Yeah.
This year, I bet Tampa Bay to win it all.
It's paying well.
There you go. Yeah,
Tom's paying
now,
well.
Now you're speaking Adam's language.
All right. So,
believe it or not, we have not even gotten to question two.
We haven't gotten to question two. So we're going to do question two. So if your wife was a University of Georgia graduate and you spend any time here in the South, you may be familiar with the concept of a meat and three restaurant.
No.
No, he's not.
This
no
is the
one
first
ever,
time
no
we've been
is.
Able to see not only the confused look, I mean, the confused sound, but also the look.
Don't worry. No one ever knows what a meat and three is.
So a meat and three restaurant, it's basically it's a cafeteria-style diner where you get a meat as your entree, and then you get your choice of three sides.
Sure.
Okay. So in this analogy, what we ask our guests is, what is the meat? What is the anchor, the defining thing around which the rest of your life is organized?
Porterhouse.
Yeah, but not actual meat. We're talking about, like, what is your centralizing principle?
He sold the joke.
Okay, sorry.
I thought that was a good joke.
It was a good joke.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
He did all right. He rushed right into him.
I saw it coming. I muted Adam. Don't worry.
Okay, good. So, what is guiding principle?
I know the answer is supposed to be God, but in reality, the guiding thing in my life, the meat in my life, is what's going to be the most fun.
Okay.
That, unfortunately, is what I learned in therapy, among other places. I'm always chasing after the next high, and the next high is just what will be fun. So the answer is my meat is fun. That was a weird sentence.
No, but we appreciate what you're saying.
So then
I told the guys on this show to keep it clean for this episode. I forgot to mention that to you, Lino.
All right. So now the question is, what are the three attributes that you would like other people to most closely associate with you?
Travel, drinking, Catholicism.
Wow. Okay.
So let's go to the drinking. What's the drink of choice?
You know, I'm so much fun. When it comes to beer, I really go out of my way. It's Bud Light.
I've heard about that.
Honestly love people from Minnesota. The Vikings, not my football team, but the people of Minnesota are always good people. And I like people that like Bud Light and maybe drink it from a stein. I don't even know. But
is it a frosted mug or is it just Bud Light can bottle?
I need a Bud Light can. Just drink them as fast as you can get them. But I know that's not the classy answer. So then I will say, well, what about, I mean, this is really dumb, but a few years ago I realized that there's less calories in the clear liquor. So a Kettle One and club soda.
Go ahead. No, I want you to go ahead.
I was going to say, Lino, will admit that I have spent more time than I probably should have on a website called efficientdrinker.com. And it will tell you basically the most calorie efficient drinks. So yeah. As it turns out, the most efficient in terms of delivery of alcohol to calories in it is the Bud Select 55.
It's so funny. There's a local pub that we go to near our house. And when my wife walks in, they pull up a Michelob Ultra. And when Jamie walks in, they pull up a Michelob Ultra.
Yeah. It's the beer that goes with everything.
Yeah.
You know, we're actually asking some kind of dumb questions because we've got Lino on video. And I've asked him what his drink of choice is. But behind him, to his right, I see what appears to be a number of drinks of choice. Adam asked him if he's actually a Minnesota Vikings fan, and there's a helmet there in the upper right. We're not good at clues. We would never escape context. The escape room.
No.
And then, of course, we've got the Foo Fighters there. Lena, I'm going to tell you a quick Foo Fighters story. When we had, I don't know what it was, I think the Super Bowl was here in Atlanta, they erected an entire building for one concert, a Foo Fighters concert, and I think it was AT&T or something, erected this giant concert venue. I happened to go to that show. It was amazing. And the Foo Fighters performed there, and then they tore the thing down. And it wasn't a tent. It was a fully erected steel building just for the Super Bowl. Wow, one show of Foo Fighters.
That was a really long story to get to nowhere. I mean, Foo Fighter stage goes up, Foo Fighter stage
you
goes down.
You tell that story next time you go to confession.
That's incredible, man.
You tell that story for a second time.
Like you should
ask for an apology.
You were worried about us wasting time on the Vikings. Like that's an incredible story. I mean, so there was this stage, and it went up. They did a performance, and they took the stage down.
This is not a stage.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right.
No, it was an incredible story.
Selena, we do a...
Is it a sin for me to hate?
So,
because
yes,
I'm feeling feelings of hate right now.
I want to tell Lino something, though, that I tell all my people that I meet from Minnesota. I've never met anyone from Minnesota that I didn't like a little bit. And I think there are bad people in Minnesota. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there are. I haven't met them yet. But in my book, if you walk up to me and we say, oh, where are you from? And they say, I'm from Minnesota. You're plus two. You get 2 points automatically right off the bat. If you say, I'm from Florida, minus two. Right, you get minus two from Florida, plus two. Everybody else is in the middle.
I'm not saying
there aren't good people from Florida. I'm just saying you have a hurdle to get over.
I think you should just be less judgy in general.
No, people from Minnesota are good
people.
Don't
be judgy.
They're just good people. I think it has to do with the cold. I think you have to be inside with people a lot of the year, and so you have to be at least tolerable from a social level.
Now, a couple of things. You mentioned minus two, which is actually the temperature right now. And secondly, I can't help but wonder if some of your anger happens to be because Tom Brady went down to Florida and gave them a Super Bowl. So I wonder your negativity towards Tampa Bay. By the way, it's a dump. But I can't help but wonder if some of the anger is because they...
There's some rechanneling. Yeah, there's definitely some rechanneling.
Tom Brady is just the greatest of all time.
Yeah. And he's not mine anymore. Yeah. He's now seeing another team.
Well, I know.
Yeah. So,
all right. So we have our rapid fire round. These are questions we kind of draw out of here. It's a icebreaker box set of questions. We just pull some out. We ask them to you. It's kind of a lightning round. Shorter the answer, the better. And
these are incredibly deep questions that we're only going to take short answers for.
Yep. And you have the choice. Would you rather go clockwise or counterclockwise?
Clockwise, obviously.
Before we start, I've got a Foo Fighters story.
Kill me now.
Okay.
Kill me now.
All right. Clockwise, does that mean?
Starting with you.
Starting with me. Okay. All right. So where's the edge of your comfort zone currently?
Outside. It's very cold out.
Indeed.
All right. Next.
Where are you falling short of your potential?
Right here. Now.
Okay. Good.
All right. Where do you need to think bigger?
Not my waistline. Where do I need to think bigger? Professionally, I need to think bigger. I need to think creatively how to make the show bigger as if it could be any smaller. That's what I need to do. I need to think bigger.
Boom.
To get more attention to the radio show.
Excellent.
Trust us. It could be smaller.
Go ahead.
We know.
Go ahead.
When did you lose your ability to dream like a child?
As soon as I started working in Catholic radio.
What does it mean to be human?
Wow.
Uh-oh.
That's a... How is that an icebreaker question? It's the meaning of life.
I have just handed you my business card. By the way, what does it mean to be human?
Yeah, I am human.
To love.
I love it. I love the answer to love.
If you had to switch places with another person, who would you choose and why?
Dave Grohl. Especially Jamie will tell that story again.
I've got another confession to make.
I was at an event one time, you know, where the person, kind of like the guest of honor, is being introduced. And in the process of introducing his spouse, he said, when this woman dies, she's going to go to a special gated community in heaven. And I thought it was the most hilarious, inadvertently hilarious introduction that you could make about a person, as though you needed to be separated from the riffraff of heaven.
Right. I'm just happy.
I want to be among too many people up here.
Normal saints. I'm in the saints section.
It's
a really good stuff.
Yes, I'm in.
We get only the best prime rib in the saints section.
Do you have any questions for us?
What does it mean to be human?
Ooh, I like the love answer, actually.
I actually do have a question that you may not necessarily know the answer to. Are you aware of a religion that penalizes you for when you adopt it as your faith? Are you aware of a faith for which it is too late to become an adherent of it in your life?
Zoroastrianism.
Is that true?
No, but it starts with a letter Z.
Okay. And when cool.
Yeah. I didn't know. And nobody gets around to Zoroastrianism.
Don't question the guest. He said that very confidently.
You did, actually. Yeah.
But I am asking the question legitimately. Is there a faith where it says you've waited too long in your life to accept this faith?
You can't become our religion. You can't become a member of our
That's a great question that I would not know the answer to, because I barely know about Catholicism, let alone. So I got Judaism, I got Christianity, and I got Islam. I could answer some questions about those.
Big three.
And, they'll all let you in any time.
Right. So then the question that I had about that. So I had a very good friend. I went to a Church of Christ law school. Okay. And so I had some very interesting questions with my classmates about the concept of made in God's image and whether or not that meant whether aliens could be Christians, right? And there may or may not have been adult beverages being consumed in a portion of the formation of these questions. But I got wondering whether or not the in some end analysis, does it matter the belief that you have or that you have a belief?
It matters the belief that you have, because there are people who believe nutso things. And if you believe nutso things, bad things happen in the world, right?
Right.
So,
fair.
Like worshiping rutabaga.
Yeah, that's an unhealthy relationship with
right.
It. So belief does matter in this life. And then, you know, whatever happens next, there will be some basis on how you believed. You know, religion all says, well, okay, whether it be Islam or Judaism or Christianity or whatever, how you believe will be one thing, how you lived it out will be another thing. And certainly I think it matters. Now, in terms of the alien thing, we don't know, because everything Jesus told us for some reason was limited to humans. He didn't ever comment on
the existence of aliens.
When he was talking to his audience. Right. I mean, his audience was mostly human. So he was like,
you got to know the crowd.
These people aren't going to be too crazy about the alien stuff. They probably don't care much about elephants.
Paul was too busy writing to the
Corinthians. Guys, I would go. But the Corinthians,
you got to know your
another letter.
Know your audience.
I mean, you got to.
And honestly, you could take another lesson Jamie could take from Jesus. Know your audience. The whole Foo Fighter story. Come on, man.
All right.
So, Lino, where can people find you? Without the business card, where can our listeners find you?
Well, Minnesota, but I hope they don't stop by. I've got a radio show. It's called The Catholic Guy on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 1 to 4 on the West Coast. You can go to catholicguy.com. I'm on social media. Otherwise, I live in rural Minnesota, so you can sometimes see me outside shoveling.
Awesome.
So, Lena, we really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, you've been a lot of fun.
And I got to think more about what it is to be human. That's the big challenge.
Minnesota people, just good people. Another, honestly, it's another one, another notch in my theory.
Hey, Lena's never coming over to your house.
No, I'm just saying.
Like you have gone out of your way to be. I know, but you're like overselling.
I just like people from Minnesota. I'm sorry.
Well, where do you live specifically? And I'll see if I can make it.
Right. So, I live exactly. No, just kidding.
Name one person you know from Minnesota.
Nate Olson, and he's going to be listening to the show. He's from Duluth, Minnesota. He's a big fan.
Shout out to Nate.
Did you skip the day in law school where they said, don't ask questions if you don't know the answer to them?
That's right.
No, but I do the editing, so that won't appear. So it's fine. It doesn't matter.
He's also a big hockey fan. Also, he does like the Gophers, and he also knows about the Hobie, which no one else seems to know about outside of Minnesota.
Hey, so, Lino, did you just turn 49? Are you still – are you
– About to.
Yeah.
I turned 49 in October. Watch this. November, December, January, February. 4 months ago.
4 months ago. Okay. All right. So 50 this year, though.
Well, I mean, let's not...
don't take anything for granted.
Jump to any conclusions?
Got a long ways to go before we hit that thing. But yes, the idea would be that I'll turn 50 sometime this year. It should be late October. That's usually about when it lands for me.
Okay.
And the weird thing is I'm the young one of all my friends. So all the guys I went to high school and college with another, I skipped kindergarten. So like when everybody turned 21, they all turned 21, like junior year of college. I turned 21 late October, senior year of college. So I was the last one to turn, but now everybody's 50 or 51 and I'm still in my 40s.
Do you feel like you're starting to run out of real estate in terms of things you want to accomplish in life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a disaster, right? This is a nightmare being this old because you've lost all hope and now we're just trying to survive. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's just a weird – I get the sense that there's this odd – and I don't know if it's a social media driven thing, but there's like the memification of everything and sort of the affirmation memes and all that other – stuff I think is all trying to get at wrestling with the fact that you at some point have this awareness that you're running out of time.
It does feel like a downhill slope from this point.
See, I was thinking professionally. I wasn't thinking personally. I was thinking professionally, there's not a lot of room to go anywhere.
Yeah.
In terms of personal, I mean, I'm still going to sit around and drink with my friends until we're all dead. So personally, I'm doing the same thing with my same friends that I was doing 30 years ago.
Yeah.
We'll just keep going until we drop off. But I was thinking more professionally, looking down the road saying, oh, well, the things maybe you hope to accomplish as a 20-something, those dreams have been crushed.
Okay, so if you had the choice, would you rather be the first of your friends to die or the last?
Jeez, that's like the human question.
We've got a bet going, a death pool. I don't know if you guys do this or not.
We're going to now.
We all put money in to see who, and then the guy who dies last gets all the money. And so there's motivation for me to survive at this point.
And murder your friends.
Well, yeah, the better question for him is
motivation to murder your friends.
Which of your friends do you want to die first? That's the better question.
Well, no. We put odds on one guy already because he's very unhealthy. So okay. we have a separate bet of who will die first?
That
so
seems
we have
a little horrible.
Die, you know, which is separate from the bet of the last guy standing.
This is kind of like a Super Bowl squares type of thing.
Yeah. Oh, you got to fill in the squares for. Right. Yeah, you got to pick the numbers. Yeah. I actually think maybe now that I'm thinking about it, the reason why the elderly make friends so easily is they're constantly trolling for pallbearers. Right.
Like, I like it.
Yeah. You're like, you look like you could still lift the box.
So what's going on with you?
Yeah.
So I didn't see you lifting that chair. Yeah. Maybe we could be pals.
Yeah. I noticed all of your other friends are dead. Are you inviting me over just because you're maybe running out of pallbearers?
Yeah.
Admittedly, I am. Admittedly, I'm always auditioning for... It's like the worst wedding party to be asked to be included in, right?
And how do you feel about travel for the destination funeral?
Oh, you got to definitely have somebody. That would actually be... The humor that I would say is, thankfully, you don't all have to wear awful matching like bridesmaid suits to be a pallbearer. Like you don't that really what it should be is first person to die. Everybody has to dress up like a Buckingham Palace guard.
I am going to change my will right now. That says everybody who's a pallbearer, yeah, I'm going to make
costumed.
Yeah, costumed.
I always wanted to be buried by superheroes.
They have to be a Marvel superhero.
Iron Man, Aquaman.
It's going to be great.
Anyway,
I like it.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Lino. Hopefully people will continue to pursue your work. I hope that you have still tremendous upside.
Yeah, I think you do.
In your professional career.
Yeah, that Foo Fighters story, you don't know how you top that. So that's wouldn't a pretty that great kinda, experience.
But hang on a second.
That's the high point of your life.
But think about this, okay? It would be kind of cool, theoretically. On the day that Lino dies last, he probably had the money at that point.
Yeah, because he was last. Won the death lotto.
He has to collect the money, right? That he's now left.
Well, I'm hoping it's in an accessible pool.
Then you get to heaven, and you make it to the front of the line. And when they get there, old St. Peter says, I love the show, man. I listen all the time.
Love the show.
You get to go into the gated community.
That's why we got a special spot.
We've got a gated community for you. Yeah.
There's your callback.
Right?
Exactly.
There you go. All right. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Lino.
Love the conversation we had with Lino Ruley.
Yeah, it was great.
How awesome to take your faith, turn it into a radio show, be willing to share that faith with us.
Yep.
And right. To be self-deprecating, not only about yourself, but about the faith.
I don't know that I did. Do you feel he was self-deprecating?
He isn't. I think he is in general, but I think that he's not sort of in your face about Catholicism. He's willing to.
So self-deprecating. That's an interesting word you chose there. It's a quality that people have, being self-deprecating. Is that right?
That's what I hear.
People who kind of could handle criticisms of themselves and, be okay with that?
No, they can be critical of themselves.
Oh.
That's the difference between
self-deprecating,
other deprecating and other and self-deprecating.
Got it.
When you're another deprecator.
So if Jamie were to say, my story for the Foo Fighters sucked, that would be self-deprecating. But me saying it is other deprecating. I get it. I'm with you. Anyhow, good episode. Love the guy. Seems like a superstar. I hope everybody listens to his shows because he does seem like a pretty entertaining guy.
I wonder how many times we can record this outro and come up with various new ways to bash me.
Oh, I think we could probably go all
night.
No,
I just think that if you listen, people who listen to the show clearly will know when people Adam knows are on the show, always a little more deferential. People, when I'm closer with them, I tend to pull my punches a little bit.
Yeah.
You clearly pull punches, and that was okay. And partially, I think it's because, and I want you to hear this as a friend, you're uncomfortable talking about your faith.
Yep, totally.
Right?
You're totally uncomfortable.
It was me and the other Catholic on the show, right? We were all in it.
Yeah, it's really weird.
You gotta.
Everybody's talking about it.
You know.
Yeah, but see,
if you want Jesus knows to hug you, you got to hug him back.
Yeah, but see, he knows the Pope. So,
Everybody knows the Pope. Who doesn't know the Pope? The Pope's isn't the whole purpose of the faith is to engage.
Right.
I know the Pope. I mean, I know where he stands on stuff. I haven't met him personally.
Pope might do the podcast.
Yeah, let's see if we can book the Pope.
Book the Pope. That guy got married at the Basilica.
He knows the Pope.
Right. Yeah.
That was his home church. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I actually love the answer to that. I thought that was really great because I was thinking of it from the standpoint of
like a destination church. Well, he's like, yeah, this is where I hang out as a kid.
And Michelangelo. The idea of locking in his wife's marital or wedding experience was pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyhow, sheep.
We'll chalk that up to one additional way to bash me right there.
Sheep, you have a good night.
If you say it was a good episode.
No, I'm saying I don't agree. I would disagree with that assessment. I think that so when we were getting married, right, we had to do the pre-Cana training or process or whatever it is. And for non-Catholics, that's basically when you have to go talk to the priest about getting married. And the priest made the whole spiel about you got to invite God to the wedding, right? He's got to be on your guest list. God's got to be invited to the wedding.
Is he a chicken or a steak?
Who, Jesus?
Yeah, God.
God.
Fish.
Seafood.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's a fish. Sorry. Yeah, that's probably true. But I think, I like small church. Like, as I've gotten older, I think I feel more connected the smaller churches. And I just wonder if it's, you know, I don't know. I to me, like, maybe what he was talking about, like, you're at places of religious significance. So, like, if you're in the Holy Land and you're at a famous site, and I could see how you'd feel a little more connected to the faith. At some point saying, this is where we normally worship, but we're going to go get married at this other place. You know, it's just a different, and which was not his, that's how I thought, is to be like, I normally go to, you know, St. Anne's around the corner, but now we're going to go here just so we can be married there. Right. That was
right.
That was the,
but he did have that local
100% sort of home, right. Which I kind of skipped over, cool. And I've forgotten that he had lived in Rome and, you know, the whole thing. So that was a great answer.
Right.
You know, I still think that confession tourism is a thing.
And I also imagine that the Bud Light in Minnesota may taste better just because it's probably ice cold.
Oh, crazy cold. Yeah. Crazy cold. You throw that in the river for 2 seconds, it is cold.
We'll see you next time, sheep. Go
thanks
out.
Thanks for tuning in.